An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo, faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught them yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. All the horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. As a rider floated on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways. If they are with us, you will ride, trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yo.
Interesting piece of music to open this program with tonight. But as this hour continues, you'll have a better understanding as to why. Good evening. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge of Darkness. There are times I feel like I'm sitting on the edge of it myself. I awoke several hours earlier than usual this morning, something I had committed myself to do with my granddaughter, and she changed her mind, and then she was not feeling particularly well. So she stayed home, but I stayed up because I had much to do. And I concluded most of what I had planned for the day. I'm behind on paperwork, behind on papers I have to get filed due to the death of our son. I've got other paperwork I'm behind the eight ball on. I've got emails to send out to people who, letting folks know they've got their orders on the way. Other folks I've got to send emails to, letting them know that their orders are still delayed. Silver has become a nightmare, my friends. I was informed today that coming from one of my silver suppliers, we could have delays as long as February before shipment. Now, that's not for most of the orders that have already been placed, but I'm afraid that it may affect some of them, and I'm not a happy camper about it, considering those orders were put in back in October. We'll see what happens. We'll continue the fight. Interesting day today. The battle that many have been waiting for many decades now has begun. But the Supreme Court liberals are grandstanding to defend Roe v. Wade. Liberal justices on the Supreme Court made lengthy statements from the bench today during oral arguments in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. That's a case that could see the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling overturned. The case involves a challenge by pro-choice groups to a Mississippi law passed in 2018 that bars abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy without exceptions for rape or incest and before the current point of medical viability for an unborn child. If the court upheld the law, it would likely do so by overturning Roe, which discovered a hitherto unknown right to abortion in the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. States would then be able to determine their own abortion rules. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Stephen Breyer, and Elena Kagan focused heavily on the question of stare decisis, the principle that past rulings of the court ought to be upheld for their own sake, given the need for consistency and reliability in the law. And they also question whether other rulings based on rights not specifically enumerated in the Constitution, such as the right to same-sex marriage or the right against transgender discrimination, would also be jeopardized by overturning Roe. And the conservative justices tended to keep their questions short. They poked holes in the stare decisis argument by noting past bad rulings by the court that were later overruled, such as Dred Scott, Plessy versus Ferguson, which allowed discrimination. Well, the tone and verbosity of the liberal justices' arguments tended to suggest that they were speaking for posterity and for the public rather than to convince their colleagues, as many Americans tuned in to hear the oral arguments in the case. There's currently six justices appointed by Republicans, three appointed by Democrats. That's a very unusual proportion that has led many Democrats to call for expanding the court or packing the court by adding seats that would be filled by liberals. Think about all these things. It was an interesting day. One of the things that was not brought up in this commentary was, I'm blanking. All of a sudden, I just totally blanked on his name. Oh, my God. How could I do that? Yeah, that's what kind of a day I've had. Unbelievable. The black justice, who rarely speaks, rarely asks questions, and raised a Judge Thomas. I'm sorry. Thank you. Clarence Thomas. And what has become interesting, one of the things that was brought up is that in the last 10 years, he has almost never raised a question during a hearing of this type. But his comments were so profound. It was simply amazing. What does this story have to do with our opening piece of music? Nothing directly, a lot indirectly. And that is where we enter. My friend Justin Smith sent me a note the other day. As a matter of fact, he sent me a note some weeks ago, along with a column which I knew that I was going to publish, but I was not ready to publish it until today. And in Justin's comments to me, he said, occasionally I will delve into religion and politics because, unlike far too many who suggest the two don't mix, I'm on the mind that Jesus wouldn't have told them the same. Our faith is an integral part of who we are as a people and as a nation. And although Christianity is currently waning in America, our nation was in fact built upon the Christian faith, despite anything that historical revisionists care to argue. Justin continues by saying it's beyond troubling to see so many church leaders urging their congregations to abide by the COVID vaccine mandates and passports, as if any real safety concerns over the vaccine's chemical and biological makeup are somehow irrelevant and to be dismissed as hysteria or unfounded, when the opposite is true. And of late, at too many opportunities, we see church leaders submitting to tyranny when freedom and liberty are hanging in the balance. Submitting to evil and tyranny is not God's plan for mankind, not if one knows and believes their Bible, the Word of God. And even though most of us faithful understand that Satan and the minions of hell don't prevail against the bride of Christ in the end, witnessed by way of Matthew 16, 17, 19, that doesn't mean we are to do nothing and simply wring our hands as the world is thrown into chaos and the size of real and tangible casualties grows to mammoth proportions from our inaction. God will always have his remnant, and his remnant will always thrive despite Satan rising up against her. As the faithful church, it is up to us to help him help us and ensure that remnant is massive rather than a small, decimated people. Justin debated on whether to even write what I'm about to share with you, since, if true as he believes it to be, a great and growing number are not really too seriously interested in the matters of God's workings and their own salvation, if presented with the accurate and scripturally correct Word of God. He says, I'm curious to know if they're simply fair-weather Christians or the real deal. In simple terms, the Christian church is failing in America. This is not the kind of commentary you are accustomed to hearing from me. But I have feelings and beliefs and thoughts far deeper than many people believe me and understand me to have. From the book of Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As we've stated, the Christian church is failing in America, withering under the decades-long vile attacks from secularists and humanists, atheists, communists, and from Marxist apparatchiks, the federal government as well, as its leaders speak of being civil and finding compromise. They have pushed the church away from the actual Word of God in a heresy called moral relativism that has worked to pave the way for the Democratic Party communists' immoral political agenda to indoctrinate the bulk of the American population into a godless mindset and to strip our freedoms and liberties from us in the process. Do you doubt me? Do you disagree with these words? My friends, this is not a day or a time for niceties nor civility, not when faced with such uncivil, hateful evil that has insinuated itself so far into our society that Americans are seeing exhibiting the most reprehensible and despicable behavior not seen in our country until now. And when all of this is embraced by the Democrats, one must ask why anyone would seek compromises that allow the continuation of the destruction of our society. Fear, rather than real courage, faith in God, is counseling too many pastors, ministers, and reverends across America, who in turn are reading Scripture in a passive and fatalistic voice. Thy will be done. As if that is a commandment to sit quietly in the church and meekly accept any and everything thrown at them by an ever-growing, exponentially more authoritarian and totalitarian state, which is bent on destroying the very free will and right to one's own conscience bestowed upon us by God. You know, preachers and their congregations should be standing and shouting to the heavens, "We will do thy will, Lord. We will do thy will." And although we are all sinners and churches, and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ are needed for this reason, a great number of people climbing into the upper hierarchy of the church are there, not in search of redemption and salvation for themselves and others through our Lord and Christ. They have insinuated themselves into the church's power structure as a means to subverting the church and passing heresy off as the word of God. How far the church's leaders have fallen from the message that Christ delivered to the world, and his example set by the cleansing of the temple is described in Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13, where it states, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And yet today we see so-called ministers now regularly performing gay or same-sex unions as if these immoral abominations were true marriages in the most proper sense and understanding of the word. And along with this perversion and deviancy, we find Pope Francis, a fake Jesuit priest who is nothing less than an outright globalist and communist, telling Catholics that it is perfectly acceptable to receive a COVID vaccine made from aborted baby parts, as he continuously skews the word of God and conflates communism with Christianity. Oh, my friends, this is a pope that sickens me, and he has from the moment he took the throne. But don't try presenting the popular fallacy from the commies and the socialists that suggests that we are supposed to obey man's law according to God. It suggests you all reread the Bible. We're commanded to obey man's law so long as it aligns with God's righteous law. America, my friends, has largely been overwhelmed on the federal and state level by men and women who act as rulers and terrors against that which is good and righteous, and those charged with leading their respective churches and denominations, whether we speak of Baptists or Presbyterians and so on and so forth, are crumbling in the face of adversity as they peddle heresy in their weak attempts to remain relevant and keep the pews full with congregants, however false their piety may be. Now look at these pastors, these so-called ministers on television. And you've heard me speak of him many, many, many times. The oh-so-not-right Reverend Joel Osteen. What a sick piece of work this guy is. This massive church that holds, what, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people? He's more concerned about getting to that point where he's passing that collection plate for Jesus. You know, it is clear as day to anyone paying attention to history, both long past and recent, that the Democratic Party, working hand-in-hand with Marxist, Mao's, communist regimes around the world, represents a clear and present danger and an existential threat to all America. It proves itself to be the manifestation of hell on earth through the advent of critical race theory being taught in our institutions and even some churches. And the COVID vaccine mandates and the passports, many other attacks on everything good and decent in this country. And as evil and immoral as we know baby murder or abortion to be, once we look at the big picture and past other Democratic Party pet projects like LGBTQ propaganda and gay rights, the homosexual infiltration of Christian churches, redistribution of wealth, better known by conservatives as theft, all supplanting personal responsibility with the welfare nanny state and the attempted abrogation of the First Amendment and our right to worship our God freely. And with all that, Americans find that the Democratic Party communists want conservative and independent Americans dead. No hyperbole here. They demand compliance with their forced vaccine passports, or they'll refuse us life-saving medical treatments and our jobs and our home and the right to enter a Walmart or a grocery store to buy food. It doesn't matter to them that you might die from their eradication of your ability to properly and freely function in society, even though they claim to be looking out for your safety and well-being through such tyrannical mandates. All of this is devastating to families and America's children. But what do the commies care? Other than they can get control of the next generation of America's children. And frankly, that should scare the hell out of any normal American. The words of one René Girard, renowned philosopher and anthropologist, are appropriate in this instance. Writing in a book called I See Satan Fall Like Lightning, written in 2001. And Girard sorrowfully noted that the majestic inauguration of the post-Christian era is a joke. We are living through We are living through a caricatural ultra-Christianity that tries to escape from the Judeo-Christian orbit by radicalizing the concern for victims in an anti-Christian manner. And of late, America has witnessed parents like Lily Tang Williams making a strong stand in various cities and states against critical race theory. We've also seen many policemen, firefighters, nurses, even pilots and flight attendants fighting vehemently against the workplace COVID vaccine passports in cities like Chicago, Seattle, New York, all across America. Yes, even some right here in Phoenix I'm aware of. And yet over the past year, when they could have made a real difference and a meaningful impact, America heard meek silence emanating from the nation's churches and congregations because they simply caved in and submitted to the mask and the vaccine mandates and the damn lockdowns, much like World Outreach Church, the largest church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, with over 7,600 congregants. Where was the church and its congregations? Why weren't they coming out forcefully and en masse against all of this communist and globalist tyrannical reset mess from the very start? Did any congregations fire a preacher for being insufficiently aligned with and obedient to the Word of God? For lacking in moral strength? For several years now, maybe decades, The church has been so damned obedient to the state's illegal, tyrannical dictates, and with very few exceptions, advocating that obedience for their adherents, that one might almost think them to be acting as agents of the state, or collaborators in forcing the faithful to bow and embrace the cold chains of tyranny and serfdom. Who else, other than just Justin or myself, believes that opposing tyrants is the most forceful manner, is wise and logical and righteous? Many modern Christians state that their preachers shouldn't be delving into political and policy matters that direct the nation and our society. And those are the very misinformed Christians who have never properly understood that a society's religious beliefs, or lack thereof, play an integral part in their government. My friends, if not for the black robes standing in the pulpit each Sunday during the 1770s, there might never have been a war for independence. You see, it seems unnatural to me, as a freedom-loving individual, to simply sit and hope and pray that someone else helps alleviate the situation and saves me from an out-of-control federal and state government. But many so-called Christians have no problem doing that very thing, for they fail to realize that opposing and dissenting and acting against an oppressive state is a righteous, necessary, and moral act, as well as the wise thing to do. If every knee is to bow, shouldn't it be bowed to God, not Joe Biden and his authoritarian regime that violates Christian principles daily and seeks to destroy Western civilization and America? My God, people, we're on the absolute brink of totalitarianism, despite the glimmer of hope that many take from the recent Republican win in the governor's race in Virginia. It wasn't a huge mandate against leftism, and yet in the meantime, the Marxists are still plentiful as lemmings throughout public education, and the trend towards cradle-to-grave care from the government and tyranny continues at an incredibly accelerated rate. Where does all of this end? Where does all of this end? I hope you can read that. My friend, today many will tell you that we're living in the end times. The end of times. And the COVID vaccine and subsequent vaccine passport is, in fact, the mark of the beast. If it isn't, it sure is acting the part and aligning fairly true with Scripture as Americans and people across the globe see the perversion of the state and the perversion of the church. And regardless of all the calls for love and moral living emanating from both the truly faithful Christians and the deceivers lurking within the church, conservative Christian Americans are not blind to the lengths taken by the Marxist Maoist cancel culture Democrats to erase God from our society and their clear intentions to eradicate the church. And everybody whose views stand diametrically opposed to their sick, tyrannical vision for America. It's simple. The church and Christians and honest, moral American patriots must do more to challenge the corrupt Biden regime and the evil and tyranny that is advancing across this land in order to stop the vaccine mandates. Submitting to the idea of COVID vaccine passports will make the next step towards Chinese-style social credit scores and even more massive surveillance of everyone a surety, followed by mandating abortions as a public health matter, placing one's entire life choices in the hands of tyrants to approve or not. And by God, don't be surprised when the powers that be refuse to allow people to be gainfully employed through normal channels, unless they renounce their Christian faith. Since you see, traditional America was built and largely stands today about upon Christian and Western principles and virtues. Don't just sit in the church saying God will save me or meekly submit to oppressive rulers. The time has come to draw a line in the sand and resist. Just as there was a song in 1968 with the refrain, God damn the pusher man, we should all be singing and shouting to the heavens, God damn the Democrats, is a most fervent prayer. Oh, I'm sure that offends you. Damn the Democrats for denying God and reveling in their unrepentance and numerous sins against God, America, and all mankind. You get it? Oh, disinterested, mankind, disinterested in God's salvation. Only concerned with their continued ability to subvert the Christian church and wallow in the depravities and perversions found along the highway to hell. From Revelations 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
Four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Thank you.
Interesting way of going to a break. Each of the two Johnny Cash songs we played to open that specific segment of the program and also to close it said much. I suspect that a good number of you will have understood them both. What's interesting is that up to this point, I have concluded everything I prepared for this program tonight. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell do I do next? And then I came across an article that I'd saved maybe a month ago. No, 2 weeks ago. And never shared it. But now I believe I understand why I was not meant to share it. Because the pieces of the puzzle that we've tried to talk about tonight may fit together in ways that many of us just don't expect. For years, the global elite has been openly telling us that one day we will all own nothing. We will have no privacy, but we will be extremely happy with our new socialist utopia. But exactly how do they intend to transition to such a society? Are they going to come and take all of our stuff? Well, needless to say, there's millions upon millions of very angry people out here right now that just aren't going to hand over their stuff to a bunch of damn socialists. So how are they going to overcome that obstacle? Truth is, they don't need to take our stuff to implement their goals. All they need to do is destroy the value of our money. And oh boy, they've been doing a real good job of that for over 100 years now. If our money becomes worthless, we'll begin to descend into poverty. Won't be long before we become totally dependent on government. And as the stuff that we have right now wears out, we won't be able to replace it with the worthless money that we're now holding. So eventually, you'll virtually own nothing. And probably won't be very happy about it. So high inflation is actually a tool the global elite can use to further their goals. Of course, the good news is I don't believe that the global elite will ever be able to achieve their utopia. I hope to God. Bad news is they won't be able to achieve their utopia because Western society is going to completely and utterly collapse during the times that are ahead. But for now, inflation is going to be one of the hottest political issues as we head into next year. We discussed that at length last night. A couple of weeks ago, Vice President Harris acknowledged that higher prices are having a huge impact on American families. She said prices have gone up and families and individuals are dealing with the realities. The bread costs more. The gas costs more. They've got to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up. That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources. Harris said that that's a source of stress for families, not only economic, but is on a daily level something that is a heavy weight to carry. Of course, her solution is to get Joey's agenda through Congress. She knows that all of that spending will inevitably create even more inflation. And the socialists over at NBC News, they're trying to help the Biden administration by putting a positive spin on the inflation crisis. NBC's Stephanie Ruhle trying real hard to convince everyone that inflation is not a problem because we all have more money to spend these days. Huh? But as has been recently demonstrated, the truth is inflation is rising much faster than our paychecks are. And that means that our standard of living is going down. Inflation is one of the big reasons why the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index just hit the lowest level since 2011. University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index tumbled to 66.8% for November, according to a preliminary reading, the lowest since November of 2011, well below the Dow Jones estimate of 72.5. If you're among those that think that things are bad now, just wait, because they're soon about to get a lot worse. There are those who are admitting inflation is going to continue to rise in the months ahead. Minneapolis Fed Chair Neil Kashkari recently said that inflation in the U.S. will likely see higher readings before numbers taper off as Americans grapple with rising prices nationwide. The math suggests we're probably going to see somewhat higher readings over the next few months before they likely start to taper off. You see, the Federal Reserve has lost control, people. Next year, which begins 1 month from today, is going to be a very interesting year from an economic standpoint. We've now seen average price of a gallon of gasoline in California is at the $5 level. Yeah. And they're going to continue to move higher. And that's really bad news. And just about everything we buy has got to be transported. So higher gasoline prices are going to fuel even more inflation. And those that are at the bottom of the economic food chain are the ones that are being hurt the most. Food banks are struggling to purchase enough food because price hikes have become so severe. America's largest food bank struggles to feed people amid a perfect storm of surging food prices and supply chains. Feeding America, a nonprofit organization that operates more than 200 food banks across the country, recently told AP News that their network of food banks is already stretched thin due to the unprecedented demand spurred by the virus pandemic downturn in the economy last year. She warned it's become more difficult for her or for this organization to absorb food inflation, resulting in fewer families being fed this holiday season. And how many illegals are being fed by these food operations as well? Used farm equipment is another area inflation is hitting really hard. According to one index, the price of used farm equipment was up 22% during the first 9 months of this year. 22%. So many problems have converged all at once, my friends. Some have used the term of perfect storm to describe what we're facing. Pretty appropriate. If you're waiting for life to get back to normal, you're going to be waiting a very long time. Pre-2020 prices are now gone. Maybe forever. Pre-2020 prices, much like pre-1965 prices, are gone forever. Deficits of $5.9 trillion over the 24 months ending September 30th of this year, and a Fed balance sheet expansion of nearly $5 trillion over the same period, have irrevocably damaged the entire pricing structure of the financial system and the economy. Price inflation is on the move. Reality can no longer be covered up with Washington's lies, and we expect this episode of inflation will be one for the history books. Dear friends, dear listeners, I wish I had better news for you. I really do, but sooner or later, this is what socialist regimes always do. They tell us to study hard, get a good job, work as hard as we can, and then they give our money to people that haven't done a damn thing for years. They haven't done any of those things. And eventually they run out of other people's money, so they just start wildly creating more. Unfortunately, every single time that this has been tried throughout history, it's always ended in disaster. And now it's our turn. What does all this commentary have to do with first two sections of the program tonight. It all has to do with the control, the manipulation, the guidance to take us down that path that we don't particularly want to participate in and be a part of. How many times have I said to the audience to stop whining and asking, when is somebody going to do something? The time has come, the time has passed due for each and every one of us to do something. You can pray all you want. Don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you not to. Maybe it's past time for very deep, sincere prayer. And when you're done, the time is going to come to stand up and fight. The problem I'm going to hear is that, well, God hasn't guided me in that direction yet. Maybe God has. With what I've just said. Maybe God has with what many of the other broadcasters on this network and elsewhere have been talking about. What does it take for people to wake up and come to the realization that unless they're prepared to stand up and fight for their rights, their freedom, their life, their safety, their families, you're going to just sit back and pray and wait for some guidance? The guidance is here each and every day. But the guidance of the other side is also here each and every day. And if that's what you're going to fall for, you're in the wrong place, pal. Unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. That's a musical line, I'm sure you're aware. No, I'm just saying that to Michael and to send him a quick note. I certainly expect to be back here with you tomorrow night, Thursday. Friday night we'll embark on our phenomenal two-part series, the music of Cole Porter, as brought to us by the amazing Ella Fitzgerald. That'll be this Friday and next Friday, Lord willing. And I need these. Right now, I can only do so much. I'm not getting everything done that I must get done. I've got to fight in every possible way, just like you do. I hope this program has brought a message to you that you can understand. The basis of this program tonight, stand against the rulers of darkness. Non-Federal Observer, we'll see you. Good night. Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past and in a hand.
with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. And the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.